of the Lord this morning. And truly, we should love the Lord because He first loved us. Then He sacrificed His only Son that we might have eternal life. And we owe Him all, because all that we have and all that we are is only because of Him. I thank God for our rich history, our rich heritage, and all that God has done in and through our lives as a people and individually. And certainly we should celebrate our ethnicity. And certainly I want to give a hand to the Godfather of Soul and our young people for blessing us this morning. Yeah, Zeus, you know, sometime in our conversation, I almost thought he wanted to say something, but now I know what he was. But praise the Lord for a great reminder of the contribution of a poor country boy who made his clothes out of potato sacks and stuff like that. It just lets us see what God can do with a life that is committed or surrendered to Him. Come go with me this morning to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And this is a very familiar passage that we want to lift up this morning and share with you for just a little while before we go down to enjoy our time of fellowship. I see Dave is already pulled in back there and getting set up to prepare dinner for us, so we want to make sure we're on time to be ready. And let me say this now, brothers, after the worship, we need to go down and kind of reset the dining room and put up some round tables and get it ready for our dinner fellowship. So men, after the benediction, let's go down and get everything ready for that time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day that you've allowed us to be here in your house, O God, and we praise and give you glory for who you are. We thank you that you're our God and our Father, that you, Lord, love us, and that you, Lord, continue to bless us in so many, many ways. And we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you honor this morning, O God. Father, we pray that you would bless our time in the word. I ask that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth, Lord, that you may be heard today. And I pray for, Father God, that your engrafted word will be received with joy. Bless us, dear God, and Lord, speak to the hearts of those who are present today, and if any be outside of the ark of safety, or if they need a church family with which to glorify you, Lord, add them to Christian charity. We love you and we give you thanks right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Amen. The power of God's word. The power of God's word. The Greek word for power is dunamis. And it means strength. It means power. It means ability. It means that there is inherent power, that there is power residing in a thing, residing in its virtue, amen, the virtue of its nature, if you will, which any person exerts or anything exerts, to describe what it really is. Amen. And it is power that works miracles. It is power that affects morality. It is power, amen, that guides and controls the lives of the people who believe and receive the Word of God. And we all need power, if you will. When planes take off, they need a control tower. And the control tower can see what the pilot can't see. Amen. They can see things the pilot can't see because the pilot has a limited vantage point. The pilot can't see what's above the plane, nor can they see what's underneath the plane. They can look out the window and see to the sides, but they don't know what's above or what's below. And with all their instruments, they can't see and tell everything related to how the weather is going to affect their flight plan. Amen. And when we look at this, we understand people need, amen, a control tower that can provide the information that we don't have from our human vantage point. Amen. We need a control tower that can give us knowledge of what we cannot see or grasp from where we are as human beings. And have you ever noticed that control towers are normally setting in a place and they're high and they're in a position where nothing can block the view of the air traffic controllers? They can see everything around them, the full 360 degrees. They can see it visually, and then they have instrumentation and technology that allows them to see what they can't see with their own eyes. So when you look at it, you understand that God is the believer's control tower. Amen. He is that person who is sitting there and giving direction to the lives of the children of God who believe his word. And the word of God is the information coming from our heavenly control tower to bless us and guide us in the path of righteousness. See, you and I, we have a very limited vantage point from where we are. But the word of God can communicate to us everything that we need to know as relate to what is going on in the spiritual realm. It can communicate to us what we can't see with our natural eyes. The writer of Hebrews, without hesitation or without reservation, declares very powerfully that the word of God is alive, that it is powerful, that his word has unlimited power, if you will. The word of God does have power even in our society today. Though things seem in total disarray, particularly in our country today, God's word still has relevant, applicable power to guide the lives of men and women in this world today. Amen. And what I want to do this morning is just take a look at several of the different types of power that exist in the word of God. And the first one is that God's word has penetrating power. Amen. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the word of God is sharper than any knife. It's sharper than any scalpel. It's sharper than any laser that may be used in surgery. God's word is sharper than any instrument that exists on the face of this earth. It's sharper than any technology that exists in and on planet earth. God's word has power, penetrating power, that it goes down into the heart of sinners and causes us to understand, amen, that we are lost without God in our lives. It causes us to recognize that we are on our way to hell and to damnation. It convicts us, and ultimately, when we hear the voice of God, it causes us to repent of our sin, receive God's forgiveness, and become a part of his family. But it only happens through the divine penetrating power of the word of God. You didn't get saved just because you wanted to. You are saved because the word of God came into your heart and did its miraculous work to bring you in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the word of God is powerful, and Titus 1:9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, listen to this, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. The penetrating power of God's word has a dual function, if you will. It is one that encourages us in righteous living and doing the things that God has called us to do. And then it will also convict us of our sins when we're off the path of righteousness and not doing what God has commanded us to do. The word of God penetrates the hearts, amen, of those who are burdened to lift their cares and their concerns. The word of God penetrates the hearts of those who are down in degradation and need somebody to lift them from the oppression that they are under. God's word has power, amen, even to comfort those that are mourning and grieving and suffering. God's word penetrates and brings deliverance, amen, to those who will hear and honor the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 4, as Paul went down and he was talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, he closes the chapter, I believe, by saying, comfort one another with these words. And the words that he was talking about was the return of Jesus Christ and the power that he gives to his saints. God's word has penetrating power. Not only does it have penetrating power, it has overcoming power. Amen. See, after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Satan thought that that was a good time to come and attack him in that weakened condition. Amen. And he came and he said, you took him up on a high mountain. Amen. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world in just a moment of time. Amen. And the devil said to him that all this authority I will give to you if you will just bow down and worship me. It'll all be yours. And Satan comes to us with temptations and snares and traps and enticements and all of those things. And you know what he tells us? Just don't worry about that God over there. Just come over here and I'm going to give you all this stuff. And in the process, I just want you to worship me. The word of God has overcoming power. But Jesus said to him in Luke 4:8, "It get thee behind me, Satan." Sometimes you got to tell the devil, "Go on home and go on back where you come from. Yeah, leave me alone." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So when you look at this, you understand that the word of God has overcoming power. Jesus overcame all of Satan's attacks. And if we want to overcome his cunning craftiness, if we want to overcome the snares and the fiery darts of the enemy, it is going to be through the overcoming power of the word of God. Amen. See, the word of God is dependable. And through the word of God, we become more than conquerors, according to Paul in Romans 8:37. It says, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And you know, Paul went down that list of those things that cannot separate us from the love of God. And then he summarized it by saying, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Many of our forefathers, they couldn't read their names on boxcar letters. Amen. But God gave them the ability to understand his divine word. They understood the power of God's word. They understood that one day that they would not be under oppression and that they would truly overcome. They knew that one day they would be free from the oppression of slavery. Amen. And as a result, they had hope. And because they never lost hope, you and I are living where they never dreamed they would arrive. When you think about the fact that many of us today never thought we would see a black president, but God allowed us to see Barack Obama elected not once but twice, amen, as the leader of the most powerful nation on earth. And truly, when our forefathers sang that song, "We Shall Overcome," it was rooted in the word of God, because God's word has overcoming power. Not only does it have overcoming power, it has wonder-working power. Amen. God's word can work wonders, amen, in the lives of people who truly believe the word of God, who trust the word of God, and allow God's word to have free course. Now, it has wonder-working power if we obey it. Amen. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 5, "But Simon Peter answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word," remember that, "at your word, we will let down the net." Peter and the boys obeyed the command. They obeyed the direction of Jesus Christ after fishing all night long, and a miracle took place that night. My Bible says that they encompassed such a great mass of fish that their nets began to break. And ultimately, they had to call for some of their friends, and they filled up two boats with fish. Amen. I just want to ask a question today. Do you need a blessing today? If you need a blessing today, just obey the word of God. He said, "If you obey me, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing, there will not be room enough for you to receive it." Peter and them not only caught enough fish to fill their boat, they caught enough to fill somebody else's boat. If you want your boat to be filled today, obey the word of God. It has wonder-working power. Then God's word has the same power today that it had even back then. That when people obey the word of God, God blesses them in wonderful ways. Got a text from a friend of mine, said their son was in an automobile accident because a lady ran a stoplight, totaled out the car. Son had minor injuries that if it had been left up to him, he wouldn't even have gone to the hospital. But when he went and they checked him over, they found a little nodule or something on one of the main arteries of his heart. Left untreated, could have led to him losing his life. And you know, when I texted them back, I said, God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. I said that because even though the car was totaled out, he really wasn't injured. But through that process, God revealed a life-threatening condition in the life of a 22-year-old young man. God's word, it has wonder-working power. Now, listen to how Jesus said it in John 15. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. We can see God's wonders in our lives if his word is in us and if we are in his word. Believe the word of God, it has wonder-working power. Not only does it have wonder-working power, it has everlasting power. The word of God, according to Matthew 24:35, says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. Today, very few things are lasting. Amen. And a matter of fact, some things are designed for a limited life expectancy. They designed them to wear out in a certain amount of time so you can buy some more. Or so they can, you have to get that fixed on your car or whatever the case may be. And I can't think exactly what the technical term is for it, but they create some stuff that is only going to last for 6 months. It's only going to come on so many times, depending on how many times you flip the switch. But we have to understand that these things are temporal. Amen. I mean, like cars and houses and clothes and bridges and roads and teeth. Amen. If you don't take care of them, you won't have them. Your eyesight, amen. It will deteriorate, amen, even if you do take care of it. See, I didn't do nothing to my eyes to have to wear glasses. It just came on. And there's some other folk in here who used to didn't wear glasses. Amen. And some of y'all need them, but y'all won't wear them. I was at a celebration yesterday, and the pastor going to read the scripture. He said, I got to get with some more light. I said, what you need to do is put on your glasses. Well, I said that to the pastor who was sitting next to me. I didn't say it loud enough for everybody to hear me. But the key is that God, though all these things wear out, God's word has everlasting power. Amen. God's word endures. Amen. It outlasts and it cannot be destroyed by time, by guns, by tanks, by missiles, by any nuclear weapons cannot destroy the word of God. God's word endures all times and all things. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, is your word settled in heaven. God's word is an eternal word. God's word is always there. And as I said earlier, it is spiritually relevant for believers in every age. It does not change. Both heaven and earth, according to Scripture, will pass away, but God's word, not one jot, not one tittle, will pass from the word of God unless heaven and earth passes away first. God's word has everlasting power. And then the word of God has revealing power. Let me go back to Hebrews 4. And it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow. This is the point that I really want to lift up, and it is that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is the barometer that says whether our thoughts and our intents are for his glory and for the good of other people. Now, his word discerns, it defines, it identifies whether our thoughts and the intents of our heart are righteous or not. God's word reveals his will for mankind. It reveals the love that God has for you and I. The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And even before you and I came into this world, Jesus Christ had already given his life that we might live eternally. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word of God reveals the way of salvation. Amen. It to those who believe on Jesus Christ. And then it reveals, amen, the way of destruction for those who do not believe and trust in Jesus Christ. His word reveals that you and I have a divine helper, that he gave us somebody to aid us in this walk down here, and the Holy Spirit, amen, he cleanses, he empowers, and he guides us to this life to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we listen to him, he will guide us safely if we obey his word. Amen. God's word is true. John 16:13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. God, the Holy Spirit, one of his primary functions is to guide us into all truth. And it says, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now, let's go back to the control tower. God, the Holy Spirit, God is in heaven. God, the Holy Spirit, is living in you and I. So what God the Father has said through his word, God the Holy Spirit speaks in to our souls to tell us to pull up or to tell us to go down. God guides and directs our lives through the voice of the Holy Spirit by his all-powerful and living word. Amen. God the Holy Spirit was given to us to help us know the way of righteousness, to know how to make the best decisions that will allow us to glorify God and be the recipient of the blessing that God has for every child of his. The power of God's word is realized through the voice of the Holy Spirit. People people don't listen to traffic reports for their listening pledge, but they listen to them to know what road conditions are like before leaving the house on their way to work. Now, most of these traffic reports are given by a person that is flying around in a helicopter, amen, because he has a vantage point that allows him to see what we can't see. He's out there and he's flying from this place to that place and he can see. And now, you know, we technology has improved so much that they have cameras strategically placed that allow them to see the roadways, amen, especially major intersections and highways, and that they can tell where there are wrecks and they can tell where it's slick. They can tell all that information just by either the person in the sky or the camera that has been strategically placed to provide that information. Now, when you, and it's evident that people watch them and listen to them, because if you look at how people change their direction on how they go to work. Now, I wish we had turned the TV on and listened on Thursday. I got out, got on 470, was going to get on 470, and I could see it was a parking lot. So I said, well, I'll take 50. And I got down to Unity Village, and it was a parking lot. So I cut back over, got on Bannister, thought I was free and clear top the hill, and it was lined up as far as the eye could see. Normally, we have the traffic on so the Sister Mobley knows which way to leave to go to work. Because had we seen the traffic report, we would have gone 150 to 71, which was perfectly clear. And a lot of times, because we ignore the traffic report, we find ourselves running into roadblocks. We find ourselves running into conditions that could have been avoided had we heard the voice of Almighty God. Amen. If we had listened to God, we would have been better off. And I know I would have been throughout my life. There were times that the Holy Spirit was saying, nope, don't do that. You need to go the other direction. And I'm saying, yeah, okay, I got it. I know what I'm doing. And many times we do the same thing. See, we can get information from God if we just listen to his voice. I want you to understand that there is good news, because, see, God has a vantage point that you and I don't have. And his desire from his vantage point is to provide us with information that will allow us to go through life and enjoy the blessings and benefit that God has for us. His word said that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What do we need lights and lamps for in a dark world? We need them so we can see where we should go. And literally, the psalmist was saying, Lord, because of my life and the darkness in which it has invaded it, your word has been the vehicle that allows me to see my way back to you. See, I'm reminded this morning that the Apostle Paul left on record in the book of Romans. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power, it is the dunamis of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Now, when I think about the word of God, it is more than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The word of God is from Genesis to Revelation. And the Bible doesn't just contain the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. Now, the spoken word of God has power, because when we look at it, by his divine power, God spoke the worlds into existence. And after God had created by his divine spoken power, he created man in his likeness and after his image. And we know how he created Eve, and ultimately man fell because he disobeyed God's word. And see, every time we disobey the word of God, there's a price to pay. Amen. We may not see it right now, but ultimately there is a price to pay for being disobedient to God. But what I want to show you today is that the word of God, it first of all, it shows us the way of salvation. Because throughout the Old Testament, you had the prophets and you had those servants of God, the judges. And many times if you read, it says that the word of the Lord came on to Joseph. The word of the Lord came on to Moses. The word of the Lord came on to Abraham. And when the word of God came to them and they obeyed the word of God, they had victory. But the word of God didn't stop there, because in the Old Testament, it was setting the stage. It was telling the story of how Jesus Christ would come into the world and save men from their sin. And not only did he come, but he fulfilled every prophecy that was spoken in the Old Testament. He lived a sinlessly perfect life. He died on a cross as it had been prophesied, and then they laid him in a borrowed tomb, which they also said would happen. And he laid there all night Friday night and all night Saturday night, and just like the word of God said, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. We need to understand that God's word has power. It has power to reveal. It has power to help us overcome. It has penetrating power to bring us to conviction and to salvation. God's word is powerful. Trust in the eternal, everlasting word of God. It will help you overcome whatever you're dealing with. God's word has power to give us the victory. Stand with me as we extend the privilege of the church. There may be someone here today who needs a Savior. Jesus died that you might have everlasting life. God loves you, and God wants you to be a part of his family and spend eternity with him. And through his holy word, God has said over and over and over again, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.